everyone, and welcome to Heavy Pod. It's HeavyCast, episode 108. Eden's here again. This is like our second part of our album of the year thingy that we're doing.
Yes.
Stretching it out over the weeks to create more hashtag content.
Gotta do that hashtag content, man.
Yeah. I don't have a snarky comeback to that. Yeah, bro. Okay. So last week we kind of did categories, which was fun. And now we're getting to the serious business. No fun allowed.
No fun allowed.
Yep. Now we are doing the top 25 agreed upon albums for our podcast. You know, we're going to kind of talk about a bunch of albums, and then we'll it down to an unordered list of 25. And then next week we'll create an ordered list of 10 out of that.
Yep. It's got to be tough.
Yep. But hey, let's just begin. So I feel like we could probably just like plop down a few albums and then whittle it down. So I think like let's to name a few obvious ones. There's like Trivium and Archspire. Probably we can both agree that that would be like a highly placed album on our list.
Yeah.
And we can talk about.
Are we starting from like the middle space of the Venn diagram between us?
I'm just looking at my list and kind of figuring out what I could probably get you to agree, I guess.
Engaging Oblivion.
Yeah, Engaging of Artificial Brain.
Artificial Brain, yeah.
Okay, what else?
What about Sixth?
Sixth. We could put it down. I don't think it would make it to 25, but we'll see. I don't know how high it is in your list, but...
It's not too high up, but it's in my top 25.
Yeah, same. It's like 18 for me.
Yeah, 22 for me, so we seem to be aligned.
Chaos Moon?
I didn't have enough time with it, but I'm not adverse to it. You can put it on. I liked it.
Oh, we can put it on.
Is it on your top 25?
Yeah, it's in like 7 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I really like that album. We can talk about that in a bit. D12? Dodecahedron.
Yeah, Dodecahedron, yeah. Took me a second to do the translation.
Enslaved? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
What about Asira?
Efference? Sure. Efference. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Let's. You name something. Like I named a few for my list. You name some.
What about Orm?
OLM.
ORM.
ORM.
Yes.
I'm not sure I know what that is.
I told you to listen to it. It's like. Straight up muscular aggressive black metal.
Sorry, I'm confusing.
Yeah, it's a really good album. I think those are the common ones, but I'm just gonna push for my big ones. You know,
Dreadnought. I think is fair.
Dreadnought, Ulver.
Sure.
We can also. This is a point of contention that we actually like. You wanted to like it, but you couldn't really. Caligula's Horse.
Sure.
Yeah. Had too many new Pog influences for you, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. What about Pallbearer?
I didn't really listen to that album, but we can put it down there and then talk about it.
I think those are like the big ones. I mean, I also have Bent Knee, but I don't expect you to...
I don't think I actually listened to that, like more than like a song.
Yeah.
I have some albums on my personal list that don't necessarily make like a like I like them, but I don't know if like anybody else like. I mean, we could talk about them anyway, I guess. Impereza.
Oh, we obviously need to put Elder on though. It's number 3 for me.
Okay, Impereza is number 3 for me, so I'll put that on there. Igor is high for me. I don't know about you. We can get to that. Let's put Mastodon on here for the lulz. It's high for me.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to add this guy, Flight of the Sleipnir's Scuddy.
Okay.
If we have Dreadnought, then they're from the same city and they're like adjacent.
Like they're from the same city. Good.
If we're
doing that, then like we just need to include one black metal band and then like that's the whole scene. Yeah, so I guess I'll just run my list down and tell me if there is anything you think we should put in here, right? So at 25, I'm going to go from 25 to 1. I have Netra.
Ingrats.
Ingrats, yeah.
Good album.
Congrats. Alpha Brutal. I don't know if you remember that one.
I do.
What was the album name? Oh, fuck, I forgot.
You can put Netron here, I think.
Okay. I just put, for my own list, I just put down the artist name, so I actually don't know the names of the albums.
That's fine.
Power Trip.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you think we should put it down?
No. I didn't like it. I don't like Crossover.
Aeternum.
Was that this year?
Yeah, or like February.
Yeah, you can put that down. I like that album.
Okay. Wiley, Grime, Stormzy, Grime. Skip those. Arcadia.
Ah, seriously, that high for you?
Yeah, I liked it. It was.
It kind of lost weird. Its shine for me for after a while.
Okay. Sixth, D12. Admiron.
Admiron, however you pronounce that. Yeah, you can put that down at Libraries. At the end of the day, it kind of also lost its appeal after many listens, but it's still a good album.
Enslaved?
No, I didn't really like E.
Okay. Unleash the Archers?
Oh, yeah, you can add that. Apex.
Cytotoxin?
Nah, not my thing.
Dumb, slammy deathcore.
Yeah.
Born of Osiris? It's fine. It's like a remaster. So
the remaster?
It doesn't even need to count. Sutra? Dunes.
The
like cynic like death metal band.
Yeah. It's fine, it's just a bit derivative for me.
Yeah, sure. Kartikeya.
Didn't have enough time with it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Ingurgitating Oblivion, Mastodon, Chaos Moon, Igor, Faceless, Artificial Brain, Impreza, Arch Spire, and Trivium. That's kind of my list.
You have a lot of from your list here. Let's go down mine. So
yeah.
We have Caligula's Horse, we have Dreadnought, we have Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely add Palbero if you have it for me.
I think I added it.
Ulvel.
That's there.
Bent Knee, but we can pass on that. I don't think he'll be on the board. Open Mike Eagle. Did you listen to it after we talked about it last week?
I'd listened to it before. Like I've listened to it. I just don't really like the style in general.
Yeah, so forget about that. Flight of Sleipnir. Okay, we have it on. Dune's Asherin. Did you spend time with this guy?
Nope.
It's kind of like Crack the Sky era Mastodon, a little bit heavier, progressive stoner kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have enough stoner and doom on this list, so we can leave it out.
We can put it and then whittle it down.
Okay,
shortly
put it in. Arcspire we already have there.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh of the Stars. I'm not gonna even bother.
Is that the like mathcore thing you pushed for?
No. It's this really spaced out stoner thing with amazing synth tones, but it's really, really slow and sparse, so not your thing.
Is it called Flesh of the Stars?
Flesh of the Stars and Hila.
Okay. Keep going. Cool.
Did you listen to Yaz Ahmed?
Yes,
so that's on my list. I would put that in.
Yeah.
La Sabotus, great album. Elbow, we can skip that. Pop, Brit Pop. Ingurgitating Oblivion, fine. Dispatch of Sky, post-rock, also a very weird and minimalistic album. Oh, I definitely want to put this down though. Lunar Shadow, the traditional heavy metal band with really old-school production.
Yeah, old-school.
old crap, as no one would say. The Nails, this weird progressive rock thing with choirs. You can leave that out. Orm, we already said. Artificial Brain. Symes. Definitely want that on there. S-E-I-M-S. Insanely rich in technical math rock.
Wait, how do you spell S-E-I?
M-S.
M-S, okay.
Telepathy.
Yeah.
Tempest. That's post-metal. Great post-metal. Really groovy stuff. Without all the boring chord progressions that you don't like. But we can leave it out, I think. Sixth, Daniel Kavanagh of Anathema, with his solo album. Amazing album, but I don't think there's any chance. Asira and Sleep Makes Waves.
Sure, let's put that down.
Yeah.
Sleep Makes Waves are like relevant enough to just not immediately dismiss anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're
on. How many albums do we have on here?
Like somewhere around 30, I think.
Okay. So the tough thing is going to be ranking.
Yeah.
Not just whittling down.
Yeah. And we should probably like bring... Okay, let's see. Do you see something that's like an immediate, obvious cut? You said you didn't really have a chance to listen to Chaos Moon.
No, but I don't want to cut that because I did listen to it and I did like it. What I want to cut is Mastodon. Because again, look, it's not a bad album. I'm not... There are like three camps within the Heavy Blog staff right now. There's the camp that really likes this album and even put it as their album of the year. One person from that camp. And then there's the other side that's like, this album is shit. What the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And then there's me who's like, this album is fine. It's a
you
fine
album.
You
just have like 200 IQ and look down on everyone else.
Yeah, to be honest, you need a fairly high IQ to not understand Mastodon. I just posted in Family, I'm Pickle Brent.
Yeah, I saw that. God damn it.
It just seems like a guy who would be super into Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
You can't deny that with the face tattoos.
Yep.
So I just want to cut it because it's just okay. It doesn't belong anywhere that high on this list.
I don't know if the mic is picking up my breathing or not.
It is. Okay, I can go. I can take a different approach and go after Ego.
Okay, let's think. So even though I like Igor more, I think it's easier to cut it.
Yeah, I understand why. I think my relationship with Igor, I like it. I really do like it, but it's kind of gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, here's that thing, and then here's the thing again and again and again and again.
Here come that boy.
Oh, God. You're a veritable Hillary Clinton meme queen.
Oh, God, that video was so good.
That video is the best video on the internet. So I feel like Igor is fine, but like I don't get it beyond the gimmick.
Yeah, sure. I'm fine with cutting that one. Like, cool. It's not for everyone, obviously, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Let me separate these into groups of five so it's easier to count it visually.
Mm-hmm.
If I can count it to five. Five. Okay. So actually we have like 26, it seems. So this is going to be... Okay, maybe we should whittle down to 20 to make this more interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do we cut? What do we cut?
I'm going to take a self-bow.
Okay.
And say that there are several albums on this list for me that kind of like cancel each other out. So I kind of feel like in Pallbearer and Dreadnought's presence, Flight of the Sleipnir can be cut.
Okay.
They're seriously good, and I love them to death, but I feel like both of those albums live in like the same area, and they do it better than them, so.
Here go that boy.
Oh, God. Top 25 memes of 2017.
Is that even this year? I thought that was last year,
No, it's
year,
not.
Right?
It's previous year, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's the top 25 meme of 2017. Because it was last year.
What?
Since the meme is outdated, then it's more meme-y now. I don't fucking know, man. Dick Sefer, Harambe.
Oh my God. Please do not. Okay, what's next?
What's next? Adimiron can go, I think. I think it's like you said, it's cool. It's fun, but it's not like, oh, amazing.
Yeah, it's not super memorable.
Okay.
Yeah, get rid of that. Let's cut into the black metal on the list.
Okay.
We have Chaos Moon, Dodecahedron to an extent.
Kind of, yeah.
Orm.
Yeah.
Asira.
Mm-hmm.
And Netra.
Where is Asira? I put it
Asira
down, right?
Asira is just above Orm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I think Asira should stay, even though it was not on my top 25. I think that's a cool album.
Yeah. I think we should cut Orm, because out of all those albums, they all do weird and interesting things with black metal, and that album is just black metal. It's good at that, but you know, it has less of an appeal.
Okay, there it goes.
Cool. What about Netra? So let's talk about that album.
Okay, so I think I'm willing to let go of this. It was like the last in my list anyway. I think it's a really, really cool album. I like it because it's kind of... It's as far from black metal as you can be while
claiming still holding
to be
on to the, yeah,
like legitimately black metal.
Yeah. For the uninitiated, this is like an album that blends black metal and noir piano soundtrack thing. It's like walking through a city and then suddenly there's black metal.
Yeah, it's super cool. I definitely recommend checking out Netra Ingrats. But you like it. In the end, it's kind of like not like it. It's
great. I don't think it's consistent.
Yeah. And that's what makes it fun, I think. Yeah. But it can go.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here?
So we need to cut two more.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's getting painful.
How about Eternum?
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. Again, I think what brings our cuts together, like what's common between them, is kind of whether the album has this one thing which it does really well but kind of gets samey.
Yeah.
And Eternum definitely falls into that moniker, into that bracket.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's creative and it's a cool album, but like, you listen to it a few times and then you just kind of get it. Yeah. Like, they do the thing, and the first time when the second time is really surprising and cool, but then it's like, okay, great.
Yep.
I agree. It kind of wears out its own welcome, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, now we're at 21. This was easier than us. So I think, okay, before we kind of move on with the cuts, I kind of want to take an aside here. Like, last year, this was much harder for me. I feel but like...
Didn't we have like a top 50 last time? Didn't we start with a lot more albums?
Yeah, we did. But like this year, I don't think I would have been able to fill a 50. This like is my point, I guess. So what I was trying to circle around to is that... last year, I had a lot of albums that I really liked a lot. This year, I have only a handful of albums that I really, really liked. And then everything else, I was kind of like, that's all right, I guess. Like, I don't know if it's me personally being kind of, you know, having a different year emotionally or whatever, or if it's just the bands that, you know, albums come out in cycles. So the bands that kind of put stuff out this year didn't really speak to me too much. I don't know if I'm kind of detached from what's going on, but like, outside of like probably five albums this year, I don't really care about any of it, honestly. Like, I could take or leave most of the albums I've heard this year.
Interesting. I'm the complete opposite. Not the opposite. For me, 2017 is a continuation of how amazing 2015 and 16 were musically. There's just so much stuff coming out. But I also feel like, you know, not to... It's not a judgment on you or anything. Mm-hmm. I just listen very widely. And I also think, you know, I've always been, you know, more melodramatic, more prone to falling in love with albums and being hyperbolic about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel I it took me weeks to whittle down all my albums into 50 and then to 25.
Okay, but let me redo like a few albums from last year's list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Car Bomb, Vector, Oathbreaker, Cult of Luna and Julie Christmas, David Bowie, Meshuga, Obscura, Wormed, Isan, Gorguts, Fallujah, Astronoid, Thank You Scientist, A Sense of Gravity, Haken, what else? Cyborg Octopus, Mithras, Shokran, Dark Tranquility, I guess. Textures, Inter Arma, Shamash, Vervum, Ulcerate, Insomnium, Devin Townsend, Periphery, like, even though we didn't care about it, Dillinger, Body and Full of Hell, which we also have this year, funnily.
What are you getting at?
Enion's Hypnosophy. I feel like last year, the albums that ended up on a list like this were more varied in style, I think.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, look at this list. It has tech death, it has heavy metal, it has post black, it has post rock, jazz, math rock.
So beyond Trivium, there isn't anything that isn't like serious metal, I guess. Like, I don't know how to put
Unleash
this,
the Archers.
Okay, sure. But that's again kind of more to the power melt. So what I'm saying is like there isn't anything really on the metalcore spectrum, I guess, this year. Well, there's Sixth. Okay, maybe I'm coming from a conclusion and then trying to justify it. But for me, there was a larger variety of things that were interesting last year, I guess. Maybe it's me.
And hey, I mean, I'm not canceling your perspective. Like, this is an important discussion. And actually, this raises a really good point that I keep seeing people handling these sort of discussions in the wrong way. At the end mm-hmm. of the day, both your narrative and my narrative are equally justifiable in that they're not justifiable at all. Because obviously we approach these things with a huge bias. Again, on either end, right? Mm-hmm. No one has the full picture of anything. And any journalistic outlet that tells you something about the year is selling you a narrative. And that's not to say that it's bad. You just have to be aware of it. So both Noyan's version of 2017 and my version of it are equally correct. And what's interesting about these discussions is to understand where both parties come from and what's led them to see things that way and what, you know, extra, not extracurricular, like meta reasons outside of the music lead people to like or dislike a year's output.
Okay, let me rephrase my argument again. Let's see if it works this time.
Wait, are you like driving towards an objective argument? Is that what's
happening? No. I'm trying to drive towards a narrative that I can convince both myself and you of, because I don't think either of us were convinced last time.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think first of all, for Tech Death, last year was a more varied good year. By what I mean is this year there's Artspire in the kind of super weedly tech death sense.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of the kind of weird Skunk. Tech death things. But like, that was it. Last year we had Obscura, we had Fallujah, we had Wormed, we had Vervum, we had Ulcerate. So I think that kind of covers a larger spectrum of the tech death sound. That we had Gorguts last year. Whereas this year the good releases were kind of more concentrated together, I think. We had Last We Are at First Fragment. So I think there was a little bit of a narrowing of the genre there. In terms of the metalcore, deathcore sound, we didn't really have a lot of kind of standout releases this year, I think. And Sixth kind of almost feels like, I don't know why I like the Sixth album, but I never like really super fell in love with it. I think that genre didn't have a lot to offer. In terms of progressive black metal, that also kind of took a turn towards the more serious, somber sound. Whereas last year we had like Isan, for example, which was a bit more experimental, I guess. So I think this year was a better year for more... serious is a bad word. How do I put this? More
somber?
Yeah. More somber metal, whereas last year was a bit more fun year, I guess.
So I think, okay, I agree with the first part about tech death being more focused on a specific sound this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reign of the skronky guitar tone and like the abrasive over-the-top album, except for Arcspire, but again, that's just one album.
Yeah, and that's kind of a band just doing the thing that they've always done.
Yeah, and I think the main gap that you and I have is all the Dark Descent core thing that's coming out now.
Yeah.
The big thing in death metal this year has been Dark Descent core, right? These bands around the label, Dark Descent, and kind of this grimy, dirty, old-school death metal kind of vibe, and mm-hmm. neither of us really likes that.
Yeah.
So we're missing a huge chunk of what happened in 2017 here.
And I think that kind of bled into the genres that at least I like. I don't know about you. So that also kind of narrowed that down a little bit.
Yeah. And a second thing is, which I feel like I'm more in tune with and you're not because of your own taste, and it was a big thing in 2017, sorry, is the continuing momentum of the traditional heavy metal revival. Like if you were looking for what was less somber and serious that was released this year, mm-hmm. there are like 10 heavy metal albums that were released. Most of them, by the way, during the last month. I don't know why. but like White Wizard and, what's a Black Whale and, Monolithic something. I just got it like a week ago, so I don't remember, its name. And during January, we have Visigoth releasing their album, very mm-hmm. expected album, and Grey Wolf, and all sorts of these traditional heavy metal bands that made more melodic and less somber albums this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the second thing that I want to bring here, and why maybe this list is, you know, a bit more
grim.
Harmonious, grim, mm-hmm. but harmonious between us and easier for us to whittle down. And for me, the last thing I want to say is that sort of gave me a lot of time this year to expand into genres which I've never listened to before. And that doesn't necessarily produce album of the year lists. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, that's what I think. Like, I listened to a lot of stuff this year, possibly more than last year, but I mm-hmm. just didn't really like any of it.
So I liked a lot of it, but it's not stuff I would put on my end of year list. Like, a lot of it is older stuff. So I discovered hip hop this year.
Hmm.
And I've been going back and listening to all sorts of stuff from the scenes that I like that exist now and trying to understand their context. But a lot of it didn't come out this year. And yeah. a lot of it is interesting in the historical perspective, but is not really something I adore, right? But then again, going back to the genres that I do enjoy, like, this has definitely been a fantastic year for post-rock. Amazing, mm-hmm. amazing year. Like, numerous releases and new festivals and new labels and compilations and a ton of stuff. And that's why it's reflected on my list. Like, I have Sleep Makes Waves and Dispatch of Sky, both fantastic albums. And further down after 25, I have a bunch more post-rock releases. So I feel like we're finding it easier, both because, like you said, you had a less engaged year, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was sameness to the greatness. There we go. There's a good soundbite.
Yeah.
Like, the great stuff came from the same, not 100% the same, but very overlapping areas within the metal community.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And also,
I think 2014 might have been a bit the same.
What was 2014?
I need to put it up, but I remember it being less contentious, I guess, of a year. I don't know.
Looking back at the releases from 2014, I probably agree with you. Yeah. 2015 and 16 were really good for me. 14 was kind of whatever. And this year is kind of whatever. I mean, these things come and go in cycles. Like, people.
Yeah, for sure.
Bands put out albums in cycles, and, you know, genres kind of come and go. Like, 2 years ago, Def Heaven Core was super big. Now it's like almost nowhere to be found.
Yeah. I think it's a good lesson, though. You know, I keep telling people, you know, this is a point I've made on the podcast several times. Metal is so young. It's such a young genre. And one of the things that kind of entails is how little perspective journalists have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's very convinced of things, right? This is here to stay. This will be forever. This is going to be one of the mainstays of the genre. When, you know, if you were writing about metal in the late 80s, fucking technical thrash was one of the biggest things around. You can just, you can read the Decibel storylines about Watchtower and how it's the next big thing. But then it kind of just dies away, right? And think about the mid-90s, where you have this like huge range and deluge of progressive metal, you know, old school progressive metal, Dream Theater core. And in 2-3 years, that just disappears.
Yep.
So there's like a shortening of perspective that comes with how young this scene is.
Yep.
That being said,
we need to cut down one more album.
One more album. Oh boy.
Okay, let's see.
Ooh, maybe.
You trying to cut Dunes?
Dune.
Dunes, Dune.
No plurals.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's a really fucking great album.
How high is it on your list? Great.
It's pretty high. It is 9.
Mastodon is 8 for me.
Oh boy.
Let's see. Which one was Seams? I forget.
Seams. A really amazing math rock album, but we can cut it.
Sure. You don't need to feel pressured.
No, it's fine. It's 20 on my list.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, why are we cutting it, though? Like, what...
I mean, I guess it's an album that is extremely good, but that you only listen to every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. it's so rich and it's so complex that it doesn't pull you in. There are no hooks. It's not about hooks, right? It's about progression and being overwhelming and really, you know, digging deep into the technicality behind the music.
Yeah.
And that, I feel, kind of draws away from part of its appeal.
Yeah.
It kind of becomes like, yeah, go ahead.
I can relate, like, album that is kind of almost performative instead of...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It has very little hooks. It's almost... I don't want to be too harsh because I really do like the album
mm-hmm.
and I really would recommend people listen to it, but it kind of almost feels like it's not music anymore. You know what I mean? It's like a set of exercises.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant by performative. Like, you're trying to demonstrate how cool this is and how clever this is, but that doesn't always kind of translate into it being like
It's still a fantastic album, but I think what I want to say about it is that I didn't get a relationship out of it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I didn't get like a journey with the album, and that's very important for me.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it as we get to the higher spots, like albums that really move forward with you and stick with you. And that's not one of those. So.
Okay. All right. There it goes. There Go That Boy. Okay. So I think we're down to 20, and I think this is a good 20, and we'll reread the albums in a second. But the homework is going to be for us to both listen to the ones that we're not familiar enough on this list so that we can mm-hmm. kind of do a good job of whittling this down to an order 10 next week.
Yes.
And the listener as well. Comment in the podcast post letting us know which one of these you think should make the 10. And we'll fight over it.
Read it out.
Yeah. All right. Trivium, The Sin and the Sentence. Artspire, Relentless Mutation. Ingurgitating Oblivion, Vision Wallows in Symphonies of Light.
Well done.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the long song, though. Artificial Brain, Infrared Horizon. Sixth. What was the name of the album?
The Future in Whose Eyes.
Yeah, question mark. Dodecahedron Quintessence.
You skipped Chaos Blue.
Yeah, I know, because I'm trying to look up the album name.
Eschaton.
Asira Efference. Mm-hmm. You take Lunar Shadow and Dreadnought.
Lunar Shadow, Far From Light, and Dreadnought's Awake in Sacred Waves.
Yes. Chaos Moon, Eschaton Memoir.
I was Oliver, close.
The Assassination of Julius Caesar.
By the Coward.
Marcus Brutus. Caligula's Horse, I don't remember the name of
in
the album.
In Contact.
Yeah, Incontinent. Impureza, La Caida de Tonat Youth. I don't know how to pronounce that. I just fucking botch it. Paul Bearer.
Heartless.
Heartless. Elder.
Reflections of a Floating World.
Mastodon, Emperor of Sand. Dune, mm-hmm. Asheron. Unleash the Archer's Apex. Sleep Makes Waves.
Made of Breath Only.
And Yaz Ahmed, La Sabatus.
La Sabatus.
All right. So
this is a damn good list, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Sixth is a really easy cut from this, by the way.
Let's see next week.
Yes, let us. Maybe maybe we will cut Artspire.
No, probably not. Oh, but you're like doing a cliffhanger?
Yeah, you know.
Maybe we'll cut Trivium.
Yeah. If you don't comment enough on the post, we will cut all of these.
Maybe we'll do an episode right at the end of the season which doesn't have anything to do with the other episodes and it's just a lame excuse to bring back a character we know everybody loved.
Yeah, I don't like Stranger Things 2 either.
Yeah, oh my god, dude. Oh my god.
Quick cool people time, I guess.
Yes, episode 7 of Stranger Things 2 can go fuck itself.
It's fucking terrible. That was the episode, like, you know, for 2 weeks I was like, I still haven't been able to like finish this. That was that episode. Yeah.
It's so bad.
The Disaster Artist is really good, though.
Yeah, I really need to watch that. Wait, when is The Last Jedi coming out?
I don't know, like a week or two. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Like, I haven't bought tickets because I don't know where I'm gonna be when it comes out. what was that? So, Disaster Artist. I think before seeing the movie, it is a must to listen to the audiobook of this. And I'm not, this is not me shilling for the audibletrial.com/heavy where you can get a free audiobook. This is me legitimately saying that the audiobook is amazing because it's read by Greg Sestero and he does a really cool, Tommy Wiseau impression. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously the movie has some stuff that is cut from the book. And I think like it gives you a good, background to be able to kind of contextualize what's happening in the movie more. And yeah, it's really good.
So on my end, I've been playing Destiny 2.
Enjoying it?
Yes. I finally got a few friends of mine to play with me. Mm-hmm. We finished the main storyline. We're now doing some of the expansion. We did like a few heroic strikes and Nightfall.
Are you on PC?
I'm on PC.
Oh, hit me up sometime.
Yeah, we should play. So I have a few things to say. I played the first game and I had a lot of issues with it like everybody else. And I gotta say, they pretty much fixed everything.
Yeah. The also, game feels, plays so much better on the PC.
Yeah, it plays so much better on the PC. It's so much more comfortable. And I love that it's now plugged into Battle.net because it gives you those like quality of life features. The Whisper works really well and the matchmaking and the roster and all that stuff. Yeah. Again, as before, it's fucking gorgeous. It is so astoundingly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the design behind the weapons and stuff like that. My pain points are the classes are kind of fucking boring, I must say.
Yeah, very much so. Especially considering they haven't really changed from the first game in like a massive way.
Yeah, they're just boring. And some of them are downright non-viable. I feel like that would hurt you because I feel the Night Stalker is boring as fuck.
Yeah, so I rolled Hunter on the original game. And obviously, I continued playing Hunter in the sequel. But then I was like, "Yeah." So when I switched to PC, because obviously I first played it on PS4. When I switched to PC, I rolled a Warlock instead.
Yeah, I'm playing Hunter, and I'm really enjoying the Arcstrider and the Gunslinger to an extent. But Nightstalker is just not interesting. The grenades are hard to use, and the super is just not powerful enough.
Get good.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's nice, mindless fun. You can chat with your friends while you're doing it. It's not very engaging. Mm-hmm. It's, again, it's astounding. The story is finally not cringy.
Yeah.
It's well written. There are still some bad stuff in there. Bad lines and bad tropes, but overall it's pretty cool.
They go too heavy on Cade.
I mean, you know why though, because it's fucking Nathan Fillion.
Like, I know, but like,
he's the star.
Even if you lampshade it, it's still too much, I think.
Like, I really liked Gaul, the bad guy. Yeah. I really liked his motivation, but I didn't like the ending, like the character arc and how it ends.
Yeah.
It was kind of... He didn't get the payoff that he deserved, I feel.
Yep.
But overall, like, the first game made me cringe, honestly. It, like, made me squirm in my seat. And this didn't, so it's fine. Hey. And I'm playing Osiris now. And the story seems even more interesting. Have you played any of it?
Not yet, but Cody has been hyping it up to me to no end.
So I think you'd like the storyline. It has like this infinite computational machine and it's pretty interesting. Good sci-fi.
Sweet.
Cool.
Quick update as to what I am playing.
Yes.
There's this meme game called Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy.
Okay.
So it's kind of like co-op. So you're this guy in a cauldron and you have a hammer and you control the hammer with the mouse. This is kind of hard to explain. So basically like he points the hammer to wherever you move the mouse to, right? It's like a 2D side scrolling thing and you like use the hammer to, leverage yourself and pull yourself and push yourself up like obstacles. It is like obscenely challenging, like co-op style and like intentionally unfair, which is like funny, obviously. And also, the narrator, the creator of the game, like, narrates as you're going. Like, it has this, like, pretentious meta-narrative about, like, trying and failing. It's, like, really hilarious and frustrating. And, like, I love dumb, like, clumsy, intentionally clumsy games like Co-op. So I'm having a good, frustrating time with this. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It's, like, $5 on Steam or something like that. Just go.
If you want to suffer, just play it.
Yeah, yeah. And, a new Hearthstone expansion came out yesterday, and it has like a pretty extensive like roguelike single player mode, That's like completely free to play, and it's really cool. So I'm spending some time with that.
Interesting. Yeah, I've been also playing some Prey.
Mm.
I'm doing better. I just kind of, I don't know. The story is really engaging. I just got to the point where, spoilers, you fix the looking glass,
mm-hmm.
you finish the video, and then suddenly there's January, but also December out of nowhere. I really like that. I still don't know anything about what the fuck is going on there. But the gameplay itself is just really clanky. And not in a fun way.
So it's
kind of a chore.
Hmm. Oh, we could talk about it later. I just don't have a lot of time left, but we will talk about it offline. I think there's definitely like wrong ways to play that game, because it like gives you so much options that you could end up in a situation where you're kind of like, you know,
floundering.
Yeah, like almost like unintentional, like a way that the developers didn't intend. And it's cool that you can get there, but it's also easy to kind of like get stuck in a rut. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Cool.
All right. Thanks and look forward to next week. Bye.
Yep. Bye.